Welcome to Kingdom Perspective Broadcast, the teaching ministry of Dr. David Ogaga. We believe that this message is going to open up the seals and cause you to have a deeper revelation into the Word of God that will make you see beyond the letters in the Word. Here is Dr. David.
Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. Once again, we're here to receive instructions. With the mind, Holy Spirit of God, that you give us understanding. Grant us wisdom, O Lord, to see beyond the letters of the world. That will produce transformation, healing, revival within our spirit and our mortal bodies. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Okay, so we continue with our study on the five crowns of the believer. The five crowns of the believer. Last week we dealt with the crown of righteousness. I'm going to touch that briefly before moving to what we have today, which has to do with the crown of life. Because I didn't really finish up with what we have to deal with in the issue of the crown of righteousness last Wednesday. So I'm just going to touch this a little bit. In book of Proverbs chapter 14 verse number 24, there's a silent word there, which says, Proverbs 14:24, the crown of the wise is their riches. The crown of the wise. Just give me King James, except I want you to shift. The crown of the wise is their riches, but the foolishness of fool is folly. The crown of the wise is their riches. Amen. But the foolishness of fools is folly. That means foolishness is also a crown. Just like those who are wise can accumulate riches by way of wisdom, poverty is a crown for the fool. Go to that message translation. Let's see what it says there. Message translation. And then we'll come back here. The wise accumulate wisdom. Fools get stupider by the day. Hallelujah. Praise God. So I want you to understand what crown is. I'm reading this to let you know that it's not when you get to heaven that you're going to get crowns. Hallelujah. You just need to understand that. The wise accumulate wisdom, which is going to call riches. But fools get stupider by the day. That's why sometimes scripture says you don't even need to answer a fool. Other times say answer the fool by his own foolishness. But a fool called gets stupider by the day. But get down to the A part. The wise accumulate wisdom. So go to King James again. See what I mean? He said, the crown of the wise is what? Their riches. I'm reading this to once again let you know that there are things you begin to work with here, receive here, live by here, that depicts the spirit that you carry and becomes your crown. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Okay. So, once again, the crown of righteousness. 2 Timothy 4, verse number 7. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not only me only, but unto all them also that love is appearing. Amen. Praise God. Okay, then I shared with you last week as well, Revelation 22 verse 11. He said, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And he said, behold, I come quickly. And my reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. Hallelujah. I'm going to reward everybody according to how his work shall be. So if your work has to do with the life you live, you have to do with the spirit you carry. I'm going to reward you based on the spirit you walk in with, you manifest. So yeah, the spirit is saying, if you want to remain righteous, fine, go ahead being righteous, because you have a reward of being righteous. If you want to remain filthy, go ahead. You want to remain foolish? Go ahead. There's a reward for everything. That's the crown you're going to get. There's a reward for everything. Remember, scripture says God is not mocked. Hallelujah. So that's what Paul is saying here in that 2 Timothy. I fought the fight. That's the reward for me. In other words, every reward. This is not what you get for believing in Christ. This is what you get for living the life. It's not talking about what you get. This has nothing to do with grace. It has nothing to do with the salvation that Jesus is providing freely for everybody. No. This is how do you live the life that has given to you. Even that free life that he gave to you, how did you live it? That's where the reward is coming from. This reward for the life lived, the reward for the work done, it have nothing to do with free salvation, merited favor, whatever the case may be. They have nothing to do with grace. Hallelujah. That is why the wisdom of the wise is riches, but the foolishness of the fool is continuously foolishness. Revelation 22, verse number 6. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servant the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the saying of the prophecy of this book. Hallelujah. The saying of the prophecy of this book. How to do it? Everything that at the end you'll be measured with is based on what the word of God is saying. By implication, you must pattern your life after the word. Your reward is coming based on how you live your life in relation to the word. Hallelujah. Which basically speaks about our character, our nature. Because remember, the Bible talks about, if you want to be unjust, be unjust. If you want to be holy, be holy. If you want to be filthy, be filthy. Whatever reason, I mean, anything you want to do, go ahead doing it. Okay, go to Revelation 20 verse 11. Let me show you now. Revelation 20 verse 11. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, for whose face the earth and the heaven fled, and there was found no place for them. The earth and the heaven fled from his presence. That is to say, the controlling factors, the natural controlling factors, have to give way to the spiritual reality. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. I've dealt with that extensively here. Remember that. Good. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. According to their works. The judgment is according to the works of the people. Dead, great, small, that's everybody. Is to be judged based on their works. What works? Work in relation to the book of life. What is the book of life? The book of life is the life and the character of the Lamb. The life and the character of the Lamb. Remember, your righteousness is his righteousness, which he has imputed unto us. So, you're going to be judged based. So, when Paul is saying, okay, I'm waiting for my crown of righteousness, whatever the case may be, it's all because he said, I fought the good fight, I finished my course, you know, I fought the fight of faith, as the case may be. It's all in Christ. So yeah, he's saying, you want to be filthy, you want to be righteous, go ahead, be one. You are going to be judged based on your works, your life, your character, your attitude, in relation to the book of life. which is the life of Jesus Christ. Amen. The word works there is actually agon in the Greek. And agon means an effort or occupation. By implication, an act, deed, doing, labor, works. I want you to understand that. Your act, your doings, your deeds, the effort you put in doing those things, that's what you're going to be judged by. Is that okay? So what was Paul's effort? Effort was to make sure he finished the course. There was something he saw that he must pursue. He finished it. And so the translator, I put on the effort to finish the course that was given to me. Are you getting that? So when we say you're going to be judged according to your works, understand the meaning of that word. It means effort or occupation. That is to say, if you occupy yourself continually with that which is not of the Spirit of God, that is how you're going to be judged. Paul had to put all his effort in that which promotes and glorifies God. So my grand is laid up for me. I finished my course. I understand the assignment that God gave to me. I put in all my effort. I occupied myself with that. So if you try and occupy yourself with folly or filthiness or righteousness, whatever the case may be, if that is the effort you're putting in, that is where you're getting your reward from. Why? Because all of those, your efforts are going to be measured by the life of the Son of God, which is called the Book of Life. Our character is to be measured by the character of who? Of Jesus Christ. So if our character does not measure to that, and the word is saying that to us, what are we supposed to do? Humble ourselves and say, God, help me. Like the father of that child I was going to Jesus and help die my unbelief. Even the apostle prayed the same prayer. There are times we say, God, help die my unbelief, because it seems I can't walk with your word. I'm not walking with your word. And I don't want my labors to be in vain in the faith. I don't want to be in vain. Hallelujah. The Book of Life, like I said before, is the character and the nature of who? Of Jesus Christ. You know that before. I've dealt with the Book of Life in this place. Hallelujah. Revelation 13, verse number 8. I'm just rushing this so that I'll go down to what we have today, basically. Revelation 13, verse number 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose name are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now this tells you something. What you worship is what you become. Or who you esteem to be higher than your being is what you worship. And remember, in the book of Psalms, the Bible says those that worship idols are like the idols. So you are like who you worship. So those whose character are not found in the very nature of Christ are beastly worshippers. My implication, they are giving all their effort and attention to the natural self, which is a beast. All those whose names are not written in the Lamb Book of Life, they worship the beast. Those whose character does not measure with the character of life of Christ, they are beastly worshippers. They are the ones that have really held the image of the beast in their forehead, in their right hand. Amen. And it's all effort to do this. So you can put in effort to become Christ-like, just like I'm putting effort to be beastly-like. That is why that proverb put is very important. The wisdom of the wise is their riches, but the folly of the foolish will continue to remain their folly. They got stupid there by the day. Got the message translation. You can help it. But you see, when somebody is walking in foolishness, he doesn't even know. The Bible is saying every day you get more deeper into stupidity. Because you don't know that you're putting effort in doing it. And that is part of the character of the beast. So, It simply means your name is not written in the life book of life. What that means is you do not have the character of who? Of Jesus Christ. But that is where you are measured from. That is the standard. That is the book. It's called the book of life. So, if you like we read in the book of Revelation 22, that if you like, yes, you want to be filthy, be filthy. You want to be holy, be holy. You want to be righteous, be righteous. Anything you feel like doing, go ahead doing it. But there's a reward for everything you do. There's a reward for it. So instead of being righteous and continuously being righteous, what is that supposed to mean? Living a life of Christ. Having your name written in the book of life. What's the next thing you're doing now? You're falling down to the beastly nature. Worshiping the beast. Therefore, you can't get the crown of righteousness. You deny yourself the privileges that God has for you, for even calling you to Himself. Hallelujah. Are you seeing this? Look at Revelation 21, verse 27. Revelation 21, verse 27. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whosoever walketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written where? In the Lamb's book of life. These are the only ones that can enter into the city. What city? The kingdom of God, the new Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem. That means you can be in church without experiencing what God has given to the church to experience. Why? Because your name is not written in the Lamb book of life. You are not carrying the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you can be in church without experiencing the life of Christ. And that is very dangerous. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Are we there? I want you to meditate on this for a little bit, because very important you get this. There shall in no wise enter into anything that defileth, that into the city, neither whosoever walketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb book of life. Who are those that walketh a lie? Those who know God, that don't live out the life of God. They make the word of God of none effect. So they make it a lie. Amen. Are you here with me? It's critical you understand what I'm saying. I'm saving you. I'm saving you. I'm saving your life. Do you understand this? So that you don't labor in vain. You don't spend all your days in church and you never get the approval of the Lord Jesus Christ. This have nothing to do with how many passages you can quote. We're dealing with character, nature. Hallelujah. Look at 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us what? Wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and what? Redemption. So you get how we're talking about the crown of righteousness, because that ought to be your life. And what is that supposed to mean? You ought to walk in the light of who you really are. Who are you? A righteous person. This is why you discover that you're going to be judged from that book. What book? The book of life, which is Christ. Why? Because he has given you what? His righteousness. So the question is, how did you live out the righteousness of Christ? That's where the judgment is. It's just like the parable of the talents. How many of you remember that? He gave five, he gave two, he gave one. Remember that? He came and asked them, because he gave them, so he requested from them, what's the profit you've made? It is the same thing. You're giving the righteousness with the righteousness of God. So the question is, how are you living it out? How are you manifesting the righteousness that you are supposed to be now, which is righteousness of Christ? That's why the book of life is open, and you are judged from the things you've done based on the life that is given to you. What life was given to you? The life of righteousness, which is your life. So how are you manifesting the life of Christ amongst people? That's where the judgment is. So when you expect the judgment of God, like I told us the other time, people get frightened when they talk about the judge, Jesus Christ, coming. It's coming in judgment. Then they are all worried and disturbed. You as a child of God ought not to be worried and disturbed if you're living a life. You should be happy. Why? Because that is where you're getting your reward fully. Why is his coming a problem to you? His coming should be a thing of joy. When you are not manifesting, when you're not living the life that is given to you, that's why you're afraid of his coming. But you should be happy that he's coming. At last, you get your full reward. Why? Because you're going to be judged from that book of life, which is his own nature and character. So the judgment that you receive as a Christ, listen to me. I told us here before, you've been judged. As far as sin is concerned, you're judged, discharged, and acquitted. The wages of sin is dead. Therefore, it was offered to bear the sins of many. Let me have that. Hebrews chapter 9. And we'll come back. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, 28. Hallelujah. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after that a judgment. What was the dead? Not the dead in the grave. What was the appointment? The day you eat of this tree, you shall surely die. That was the appointment. And Adam ate, so he died. Judgment came. What was the judgment? Get out of the garden. Very simple. As is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment was the next thing. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear what a second time without sin unto salvation. When he said without sin, he's not coming to judge you based on sins. He's coming to judge you based on your character. As far as the sin in Adam is concerned, you are over, discharged and acquitted. He's not coming to deal with that. You already saved, so what is he talking about salvation? Did you understand it now? So you don't have to be afraid of whatever people call the second coming. And it's coming in judgment. Oh yeah. You should be happy that at least you lived out the life of his righteousness. You made people to see. And don't forget, those who are actually righteous, you are shining, a firmament of heaven, who turn many toward righteousness. Book of Daniel. That's where your joy comes from. And it comes to judge you based on what you've done with the righteousness he gave to you. What have you done with it? How did you live it? Are you following this? Because that 1 Corinthians 1:30 sums the whole thing up for you. Of him are you, of Jesus Christ, of God, made unto us wisdom and what? Righteousness. We're made righteous by God's standard. So he's coming to judge you in righteousness. Acts chapter 2 tells us the same thing. Or 3 now. He has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in what? Righteousness. Get it right. Book of Acts. Appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. Oh, come on. Whew. Hallelujah. Are you following this? So you don't have to be afraid it's coming to kill you or whatever. No. It's only coming to measure your character with his own character. And when your character can't match with his character, you're disqualified from receiving your crown in court. Praise the living God. Are you following this? Amen. Okay. Look at Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 21. So I'll jump drop down. You're going to use 30 minutes to talk about the crown of life. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. For he had made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Hallelujah. He had made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that what? We might be made the righteousness of God in him. Did you get that? So when it comes, you are made righteous already. He's coming to judge you as to whether you lived out that life of righteousness, which is his character, his nature, his attitude. It's not talking about the sin that you committed in Adam, whatever. No, it's not coming to judge you for that. That is already taken care of by his death on the cross and your belief into what he did. That is settled. So why is he coming to judge you? I want to find out, how did you live the life that I gave to you? How did you use it? Hallelujah. Are you there with me? And this is critical, that you need to know this. So Paul said, a crown is laid up in view. That's, it's not yet in possession, but I'm going to go take it. I'll get this crown because I fought a good fight of faith. Praise the living God. Hallelujah. Okay, I think I need to move on to deal with the issue of the crown of life that I need to talk with today. But did you follow me so far? I need you to understand what I'm saying, and it's important that your life your life is to be judged based on his life. The way you live your life is to be judged based on his life, which has to do with his character, which involves from his righteousness, which has given unto you. He gave you his life freely, but he wants you to use his life. He gave the talent freely. He wanted people to multiply the talents. Are you getting what I'm talking about here? It's very simple. So I think what the Bible says, work out your salvation, you need to understand what he's saying here. It's not struggling to see, okay, so I can be saved. No, that's not what it means. You're already saved. It's just the life, your basic life is what he's talking about. We may have time to deal with that. The crown of life. 2 Timothy 4, verse number 8. 2 Timothy 4, verse number 8. Hallelujah. Henceforth there is laid up for me. What is that? Is that what I said? Okay. Okay, we read verse 7 and then we went to number 8. Okay. All right. Let's look at something very quickly. You can look at that. That's what we're dealing with before. Henceforth, crown of life laid up for me. Okay? I need to deal with the crown of life. So go with me to James chapter 1, verse number 12. James 1, 12. Verse 12. The book of James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Hallelujah. I want you to look at it again. Where is your crown coming from? What qualifies you for the crown of life? Read it again. Blessed is a man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. So, if you cannot go through temptation, if you cannot allow yourself to be tried, you disqualify yourself from the crown of life. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. The crown of life is directly connected to enduring ability in times of trials, in times of tribulations, in time of persecutions, in time of threats even from people. That's when you get your crown of life. You're not getting it from any other source. Your ability to go through that enduring process in the midst of trials, tribulation, temptations from all sorts of people and life, whatever it is. That's when you receive the crown of life. You don't get it by any kind of promise from anywhere. This is not what Jesus is going to give to you freely. It's your ability to endure. You miss the spirit of endurance in times of trials and temptation and persecutions, you miss your crown of life. You're going to allow people to make you miss that which God has for you. Hallelujah. Remember, trials can come from any source, come from anybody, come from society, wherever. But how do you endure at the moment of trial? That's the question. That's what determines the crown of life that you receive. Now when you get to heaven, you're not going to go to heaven to begin to be to face trials and tribulations and temptations and even insult from people. You're not going to have that when you get to heaven, in quote. Amen? So why do you think when you get to heaven is where you're going to receive your crown of life? No. You miss it. Hallelujah. Come on, are you following me here? Okay, go with me. Revelation 2 verse number 10. This is one of the crowns that I really thinks about regularly. This crown of life. What qualifies you for it? Crown of righteousness, yes. Crown of life, these two crowns. You got to be careful with your life. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. And I say that to anybody and to everybody who cares to listen. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Don't be afraid of them. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, I will give thee what? A crown of life. Did you get this? So where is the crown of life coming from? It's not coming from it. You say, you just go through. Yes. Men are going to persecute you. Men are going to insult you. Men are going to do all manner of things to you. Men are even literally going to put you in prison. Just enjoy it. Don't allow the pressure of life deny me or deny my character in your life. For when you go through this, the next reward I have for you is what? The crown of life. Where is your endurance? In the midst of trials, in the midst of tribulations, in the midst of pressure. Where's your trial? Where's your endurance? Where's your ability to endure those things? That's where your crown comes from. That's where your crowns come from. You see, the thing is, if you really need this crown and you believe you want to get this crown, I'm going to tell you, you have not seen anything. You haven't seen it. You haven't seen anything. Hallelujah. Look at it. Have you been thrown into prison yet? You haven't seen anything. Let's read it again so that you understand. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. That means there are things you're going to suffer for even living the life and the character of God, being a righteous person. There are things you must suffer. Men unduly will come against you. You'll be wondering why. There's no why there. It's part of the process. I think Pastor Maxwell, I wrote something I read last week or this week or so. Was it Brandon? I think it's Brandon that said that. That if it were to be today, we will have accused Joseph of being a sinner. That's why he's suffering. Am I correct? What did this guy do? Just because he got a revelation, he went into the pit. He was sold into slavery. He was accused of Potiphar's wife. He was taken to prison. What did he do? If it were to be today, oh man, he's suffering because of his sin. But the man, I want to tell you, the man that really want to live out the very life of God and the character of God has got a lot of trials and tribulations from men and from the devil. Not when you die, not when you go to heaven. If you want a crown of life, you must endure. And the Lord said, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. That means promise you are going to suffer certain things, whether you like it or not. Not because of what you've done wrong, but because you have a life that seemingly attracts all of these things. What did Jesus do before they went to speak to him and all of those things? And how many of you understand that because he has the life of God, there's a life he intended to live in, he attracted all of those things. Why do you think we escaped that? Why do you think I escaped that? Or you think because people promise you want to become a Christian, no more trials, you deceive yourself. That you being a Christian doesn't exclude you from trials. Jesus is promising these people here, you better watch it. Many things are coming your way. You're going to go through them. And behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison. That some may not, and some may. That you may be tried. The reason you are going to be cast into prison, that you may be tried. So Joseph was cast into prison to be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death. Still there. Even if it means killing you, maintain your spirit of Christ. And I will give thee what? A crown of life. I promise you, I will give it to you. If you can maintain, even if I must you dying, for just to live the life. Do you understand what I'm saying, Pastor Mike? Don't trade your righteousness, don't trade your character away because of somebody's attitude. Don't do it. Unless you don't know why in the ministry. I was sharing this with Maxwell yesterday. I don't want to mention the minister's name. What about, I have a minister in this country. We've been doing ministry for this number of years. Few months ago, we learned he gave the ministry to the son. So it was like everybody was looking like a promotion. Only to discover that he gave a ministry to the son so that he can go into full-time business. What a joke. You've been preaching for people that are going to go to heaven. Halfway the journey, you abandon the whole course. Now you're into real estate business, pursuing money at the expense of the gospel. What were you doing before? It means you even went to the ministry because of money. Don't allow anything get you out of course. Whether men, whether poverty, stay on. It's a crown of life that you can receive. If this man was even poor, I wouldn't say anything, but this man was rich. He's rich. So one thing had been pursuing and driving him all the days of his life. Like even when he became a pastor, something was driving him, I believe, and that is money. Now the money have finally kicked him away. He says he's giving the ministry to his son. Everybody think, oh, this guy set a pattern, set a pattern. But the motive for the pattern was to go into real estate business to make more money. Don't allow anything. He said, if you can endure even unto death, enjoy it. I have a crown of life for you. Don't lose your crown because of situation. Stay on with Jesus. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Don't forget, the crown of life is not the same thing as eternal life. Don't miss that. Praise the Lord. So like we read in James 1:12 and Revelation 2:10, indicates that the crown of life for those who persevere in faith through what? Temptation, tribulation, and persecution. This simply saying that you have made it through your tribulation and therefore have received what? The crown of life. This is not eternal life. This is what you receive for enduring persecution from people, for enduring trials from people. Are you getting this? Praise the Lord. See, if you fail to enjoy certain things, that is not to say you don't have life or that God have taken away your life. That's not what we're talking about. That's what the Bible says. But there's a dimension of life that God intends you to live and receive from Him, because you can endure what the environment is pushing against you. Praise the Lord. So, you receive eternal life at the time of your birth, but you receive the crown of life in the process of your faith, walking into glory. I want you to get the difference. When you're born again, you receive what? Eternal life. For a crown of life, you receive going through the process, ability to endure trials, rejection, tribulation from men or systems. Hallelujah. Eternal life, you know, it's a free gift to everyone and everybody who believes in Jesus. You don't have to work for eternal life. Eternal life cannot be earned by good works. But the crown of life is a reward for special acts of service and perseverance under trial. Take that again. The crown of life is a reward for special act of service and perseverance under trial. Is that okay? Good. Crown of life is special reward for act of service and dedication to the King as you live in obedience to His dealings with you individually. This is not a collective thing. It's based on out under pressure and trials. Then it's based on your reward because you endure certain things for the namesake of Jesus Christ and what He has given to you to do. Who has called you to be. It's an individual thing. It's not a general thing. Because how you endure may not be how I endure. I don't know if I get in there. So the crown of life is something that individually can receive because of their obedience to the commandment of the Lord, their act of service to Him, know Him as King and Lord, how they humble themselves before His commandments. That's where they get a crown of life. It's a reward. Praise the living God. So I repeat that for you again. The crown of life is a reward a special act of service and dedication to the king as you live in obedience so he deals with you individually. You know, my calling is not your calling. You, every one of you have a calling. All of us have callings. Is that okay? Individually. The pressure I may go through may not be your pressure. And so, how he gives me my crown of life will be determined based on what he has given to me to do, what he wants me to do, how obedient I am to what he has asked me to do. That have nothing to do with you. Your kind of life is based on, okay, now you are in this position. How can you go through these trials and persecution of people and the system around you? How can you endure it? That's why you got your reward. Hallelujah. So he said, blessed is that man that endureth temptation. Glory to God. That James chapter 1 verse number 12. Blessed. Let's take it from King James. Amplified Translation. James 1:12 Amplified. James 1:12 in the book of Amplified Translation. Blessed, happy to be envied, is a man who is patient under trial and stand up under temptation. For when he has stood the test and been approved, he will receive the victor's crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. The victor's life means a crown of victory. So what is that supposed to mean? You get the victory over the temptation. You get the victory over the temptation and trials. And what happens is that by the time you are able to overcome, there's a type of joy that you receive that no man else can share with you. So while I'm getting my crown of life, which has to do with joy, directly connected to how I'm able to endure the pressure that is brought to me, either by people or by the system or by the calling itself. I can't share that with anybody. You can't share it with me, but it's called the victor's crown, meaning you got the victory over the situation. Oh, come on, I keep on seeing Joseph in this regard. So by the time he went through all of those trials, accusation, pressure, whatever, he got the victory. What's the next thing? He became a father to Pharaoh in Egypt. The victor's crown. So I see this crown to be a promotional crown. You're promoted in life to the place of joy, authority, and power. Why? Because you endured the pressure that was brought your way. Are you getting that? Woo! Blessed, happy, to be envied is the man who is patient under trials and stand up under temptation. For when he has stood the test and been approved, oh, come on now, he will receive what? The victor's crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. I remember what he said, if you love me, keep my commandment. Hallelujah. Don't miss your crown of victorious crown, that victor's crown, because of people's life and attitude and trial and insult and abuses. Don't miss it. It's called the victor's crown, which is the crown of life. Not when you die, not when you go to heaven. Those who stand up to temptation. Hallelujah. Everybody's going to go through a trial, one form of trial or the other. That is something you must understand. 1 Corinthians 10, the Bible says, no temptation is taken but such as is common to man. That with temptation, God also will make a way for you to do what? To escape. It is when you escape, you have your what? Your victor's crown. No temptation have taken you but such as is common to man. That is no situation you are passing through now that other people are not passing through somewhere else. There's nothing new under the sun. But how you go through that pressure is what delivered to you what? The victor's crown, which is the crown of life. Hallelujah. So God is saying, every branch you stand up to, every trial that comes to you, it could be unique, it could be specific in your areas of life, which the Father has ordained. I used to love. He said, the Bible says, the word of the Lord tried Joseph. How many of you understand that? The word tried Joseph. You know what that means? Just because he received the word, he got the revelation, he committed no offense, but the word had to try him. Now the word tried him, and then he was approved because he endured. He got the approval. So what was the next thing that happened? He got promoted. So don't think that you've been called as a Christian, everything's going to be easy. Everybody's going to love you. No. Never. Hallelujah. He tries the rich people. God tries the rich people. So too, they can open their hands to the poor. God tries them, everybody. He tries the poor to see if they can receive affliction and not murmur. There's no one that doesn't go to trial, whether you're rich or poor. If you are rich, he will try you whether you can open your hands to the poor. He brings poor people around you. How are you going to release money to them to help them? That's your trial. If you are poor, he allows you to go through certain pressure and see whether you will not grumble. So no man is going to escape being tried. No matter the position you're occupying in life, you're going to face one form of trial or the other. Because this crown is not given to anybody for free. It's given to only those who can endure certain circumstances and situations in their lives. It's a crown for enduring people. Hallelujah. For the rich who stand with temptation and give alms to the poor, he shall enjoy his riches in this world, and his horn shall be exalted, power and dominion shall be exalted, even in that which is to come. Hallelujah. Praise the living God. Friend, I think I would like to stop. Maybe I'll touch you a little bit again next week. I don't want to stress you. But did you understand what I said tonight? The crown of life is a victor's crown. It's not just a crown that is given to you because you are saved. It's a crown that's given to you because, having been saved, you're going to face some trials and some temptations and some pressures. And guess what? Is people that God is going to use to prove you whether you can go through that. He's not going to use other spirit being the people around you. Hallelujah. Could be your friend, your brother, your wife, your husband. How you are able to endure those pressure is what gives you the victor's crown. It's a crown of joy at the end of the day. How are you going to go through that? So don't joke with your salvation. Don't joke with this calling that God has called you into. He's working out something in your life to give you true victory at the end of the day. Which is called the crown of life. The victor's crown. How is that the victor's crown? Because you're able to endure certain trials and temptation that other people cannot endure. And what's the next thing that happened? You are promoted. You're made to be exalted into a place of glory. Magnification. Hallelujah. Because when Joseph finished all of those pressures, remember, he started from his own house. The pressure, the trial started from his own home. So don't think the trial is going to come from outside. It starts from your own home. It came from his own family members. Then to his master. And then to prison. But this man enjoyed the situation. And God approved him. Having endured the situation, you come over here and become a father unto who? Unto Pharaoh. Now that's dominion. That's authority. That's rulership. And the good thing about the life of Joseph is the same brother who God used to try him. Because remember what Joseph said? You thought it for evil, but God thought it for good. In other words, God used you to do this because there is something good. All things work together for good to those who love God. So you thought you were going to do evil? No, God was using that to evil situation to promote me. So you come here. Now those who brought him to the pit, was the ending. They came down, bind down to him. He became a father unto them. You see, God wants to promote you. You be the one sustaining those who are persecuting you. That's something you don't know about the things of God. That man who wants to persecute you, you end up becoming the one sustaining them. And that is why your spirit must be different. For Joseph never decided to revenge, but rather to sustain those who took him to the pit. That is what God sees in giving you a crown of victory. Are you following what I'm saying here? Ability to endure those who persecute you, that they may end up coming to your table to be fed by you, and you are not thinking about what they did to you. That's where the crown of life is. You can't trade that out for anybody's sake. That's why I'm going to develop another spirit. So watch this. From the crown of righteousness, you come to the crown of what? Of life. Because the righteousness spirit, which is the spirit of Christ, is what endures even trials and temptations. Did you see the flow? I'm trying to give you a flow. Are you following that? From the crown of joy, you enter the crown of righteousness. From the crown of righteousness, you come to the crown of life. Are you seeing the sequence of what I'm doing here? God bless you. Thank you. I'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to Dr. David Ogaga. We know you have been blessed by this station. You can share this message with your friends and loved ones. For more information, inquiries, and free downloads, please visit www.davidogaga.org or you can send us an email admin@gkai.net. God bless you.